Good morning, everyone. For our Bible study this morning, let's just go ahead and get started. I will utilize all the time I have. We preachers have a way of doing that, and then sometimes taking a little extra time. I will try not to do that this morning. Turn to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 7, if you would. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 7. Now, while you're turning, and before I read, because I want to read the first six verses of Romans chapter 7. Before I read, let me preface my study this morning from this passage with these words. This text, that's Romans 7 specifically, verses 1 through 6, is not about divorce and remarriage. It mentions such things. But this text is not about divorce and remarriage. If you want to know what the Scripture says about that, you really need to go in other places in the Scripture. If I were to summarize these six verses, I would put them this way. Every person ever converted by the gospel of Christ is loosed from the law and service to that law by the body of Christ, in order that every gospel-converted believer might be united to Christ and bring forth fruit to God by a service that is totally distinct from legal service. Now let's read Paul's words in Romans 7, verses 1 through 6. Paul, under the inspiration of God Almighty, writes these words. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the flesh did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. I realize that in some circles this passage is probably very contentious, but it is not contentious where people know the free and reigning grace of God in Christ Jesus. If I were to give this study this morning a title, it would be this: Dead. You hear that? Dead. You hear that? Dead to the law. How dead is dead? It's dead. There are no degrees of dead. Dead to the law by the body of Christ. First of all, I want to give you five facts based upon Paul's principle here. That's Paul's writing, being divinely inspired by God. Five facts based upon Paul's principle of legal union. That's why he uses the law here. He's showing the principle or the precedent of legal union. It's binding nature, but it also has a loosing principle as well. So here's the first five facts about the principles of legal union. Number one, deliverance from the law's binding principle demands by default a death. That's a legal precedent. You see what I'm saying? Deliverance from the law's binding principle demands a death. That's a legal precedent. This is hinted at in his first verse. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. And especially remember, in Paul's day, many of the Gentiles that were believers, they had no idea what the law really said. They didn't know. But he said, I'm speaking to some of you who know the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. You see what it says? So again, remember, here's the first fact. Based upon the principle of legal union. Deliverance from the law's binding principle demands a death. That's a legal precedent. Everything else flows from that. If you miss that point, you'll be wrong everywhere else. Here's the second point. A precise example then is given by Paul of this legal union being dissolved. Look at verse 2, 4. The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law. Do you see it? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But, what a word. And this is legal language now. This is the legal precedent even based upon God's holy law given to Moses, by Moses, through Moses. But, if the husband be dead, she is loosed. Loosed from the law of her husband. So there's a precise example of this legal union's binding structure. And now we look at the binding. Look at it. Verse 3. Look at what it says here. So then. He's going to summarize both of these first two things. What we would say is the first two verses. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, by law, what is she called? An adulteress. Doesn't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter. The law says you married to someone. And specifically, it's saying, now let me be honest this morning. Sad when a preacher has to say that, but that's what we say. This is talking about a woman. If she's married to a man, she's bound to that man as long as he's alive. And if she joins herself in intimate union with another man, she is called an adulteress. There are no exceptions under the law. Someone says, well, Moses gave you the bill of divorce. Moses gave us the bill of divorcement. Christ said from the beginning it wasn't so. He said, Moses gave you that even in the law because of the hardness of your own heart. That's tough. But that's law. That's law. So remember, deliverance from the law's binding principle demands a death. That's a legal precedent. A precise example is then given of this legal union being dissolved. But a precise example of legal union's binding structure is given. If you go against the law, you're guilty no matter what. It's just the way it is. But here's number 4. And it's a however. Oh, even under the law, look at this however. Legal union's very structure demands absolute dissolution of first union when there's a death. Thus enabling second union. Right? Verse 3 again. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. That's the strict letter of the law. Period, you could say. But, there's that word here. But, if her husband be dead, she is freed. You see that? She is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. The law was given, first of all, to show us what sin is. But the law doesn't show us how heinous sin is. The cross of Calvary shows us how heinous sin is. The law defines sin and then it puts a big period at the end of every sin. This is the way it is. But even under law, there are loosing principles. But it's only in lieu of death. You see, only in lieu of death. She's not even adult. If her first husband's dead, she can be married to somebody else, and she's not an adulteress. And you know, you can take that every step. If that man dies, Kelly, right on down the line, marry another. That one dies, marry him. No adultery ever involved, though she may have been married to multiple men over the span of her life. Is that not what even the law declares? There's the legal precedent. There's the legal principle. Oh, here's the glory. Here's what Paul's been getting at in this whole thing. Here's the fifth point. Paul now shows the gospel equivalent of this binding and loosing legal principle. First of all, what does he say? The death has occurred. The death. Before he speaks of deaths, to be multiple deaths, all kinds of deaths. But binding takes place in the legal union of marriage. When death happens, that bondage, that legal union is dissolved. It's as though it never existed in the law's eyes. But now Paul says, the death has occurred. And first union, that's union to the law, is dissolved. Look at the first part of verse 4. Wherefore, that's why he spoke about the law. He's getting somewhere, you see it? Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Do you see it? A death? No, even more. The death has occurred. Somebody has been released from their first union, that's to law, and it's dissolved. It's over with. Now, I don't say this to criticize anybody. You don't even have to go to the grave and put flowers on it. That union's done. It's over with. Even under the law of Moses, that woman whose first husband died can go marry another. She doesn't have to go put flowers on the first one's grave. As a matter of fact, if they're sitting at their breakfast table, do you not think that the second husband, as we might naturally think of it, would be a little perturbed if she brought out breakfast and brought out three plates rather than just two? Well, who's this third plate for? Well, that's for my first husband. Well, really? He's gone. Huh? Now, think about that for a moment. Think about that for a moment. The death, Paul says, has occurred. And first union, that's union to the law, is dissolved. Even the law says that. Paul says, when it comes to the righteousness of God, the law and the prophets give witness to the true righteousness of God. They're not opposed to God's righteousness. They're in perfect accord with God's righteousness. The law is but a manifestation of God's righteous demands for men. Now look, Paul then goes on to say that that death, that is the death now, all kinds of other physical deaths, but we're talking about a different kind here. It's still a death, but there's a death. It's the death. That death was designed to free us to a second union. See it? A second marriage. That's what he's talking about. A second marriage, and that marriage has design. Look at it, the last part of verse 4. Let me read the first part so we get the whole sense of it. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead. Who is that? That's the Christ whose body the death took place. You see it? That we should be married to another. Even to him that is raised from the dead, that... Here's a design. You see it? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Four things here concerning this. Remember, the death, that death that was designed to free us from that first union. And its true intent, its true design, is not just to free us, but to free us so that we might be married or joined to another. You see that? That death is the death. It is our death to the law. The law is not dead. The law still stands. It stands honored. and is still holy, just, and good. But notice Paul's phrase here. The death is our death to the law by the body of Christ. This is so in at least three ways. The first way, that we are dead. Note our death to the law. Now, somebody said, well, Paul's mixing up words. No, Paul's explaining what true free reigning grace is. And he's saying the legal precedent is still held up. A death has occurred. First bondage is dissolved. It's gone. Now you're free to be joined to another and to bring forth fruit in that union. It's true. Here's at least three ways. There are more than that, but I don't have enough time. I wouldn't have enough time if I spent the rest of my life here trying to define all this. But be that as it may, let me give you at least three ways in which this is true. First of all, we're dead to the law by the body of Christ, by Christ's preceptive obedience. Turn quickly to John 17. Now, you know what that passage is. I know you know that here. This is truly our Lord's prayer. This is truly the Lord's prayer. It's His prayer as our great high priest. And He said these words, just one verse for the sake of time. He's speaking to the Heavenly Father, the thrice holy God. And He says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. You see that? That means He was glorifying God the Father in His human body, with a human spirit, with a human soul. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished. You see it? I have finished the work which Thou gave me to do. Twice in Scripture, we will find Him talking about finishing something. Once is right here. Second is when He died on that cross. He finished as His preceptive obedience. In other words, He fully honored the first husband. Never does Christ, as the second husband, dishonor the first husband. He fully honored the first husband in His preceptive obedience, His actual obeying God's law. That's one way in which we're free. Free from the law. Free from the law by the body of Christ. Secondly, by Christ's penal obedience. Now look at the chapter we're in, or the book we're in, Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. First of all, we are dead to the law by the body of Christ. How? By His preceptive obedience. Secondly, by Christ's penal obedience. Verse 3 of Romans 8. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, I could not honor that first husband. I never did. And neither did you. You dishonored Him all the time. Whether you knew it or not, you dishonored Him. But look, for what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And what did God do for sin? He condemned sin in Christ's flesh. This ain't talking about Jesus Christ come along preaching against sin. I was taught that when I was a little kid in false religion. Yeah, this is talking about Jesus preaching against sin. No, this is talking about Jesus Christ suffered the condemnation of sin in His own body. I can't explain that to you, but that's what the book teaches. So we're dead to the law by the body of Christ. Now in His preceptive obedience, in His penal obedience, and you'll see that again referred to by Paul in verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, so like God the Father, He delivered Him up. Delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? But here's the third thing. We are dead to the law by the body of Christ, by Christ's intercessory obedience. Think about it. Look at verse 34, chapter 8. Who is He that condemneth? Even the law of the first husband, can He condemn? He's been fully honored and satisfied. Both preceptively and penally. The law has had its holy precepts honored in obedience. And then what it demands for disobedience has been honored too in the death of Christ. Christ covered all sides for us, brothers, sisters. He covered every side for us. Who is He that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And oh, how we preach that. but yea rather. Yea rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand, who also maketh. Do you see it? He's doing something. You see it? Maketh intercession for us. So, our first union to law had only one bloom and one fruit. That's verse 5 of chapter 7. Our legal union to law had only one bloom and one fruit. Look at it, chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And that's just the way it is, brothers and sisters. That's all we could ever bring forth under the law. Our union to our first husband, the law, all we ever did was our fruit? Sin and death. Sin and death. Sin and death. We were promiscuous. Yeah. Our first union to law had only one bloom and one fruit. Oh, but look, the legal precedent stands intact and is honored. We are now delivered from the deadness of what once bound us, that is under the law, delivered by Christ and His death, now to serve in a totally new, distinct way. Verse 6, but now are ye delivered from the law, that being dead wherein ye were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not, now notice that, and not in oldness of the letter. Some teach, but they are wrong. They are dead wrong. That when God saves you, He then enables you to keep the law. That old husband's dead. He's been honored. You can't do any better than Christ did. Stop trying. Stop setting out the third plate. Leave it in the cupboard. Bring out the plate for you and your husband, your second husband, Christ. That's it. Quit putting gray flowers on the law's grave. The law's still very much alive. You're dead to it. You see? You are dead to the law. Not the law's dead. You're dead to the law by the body of Christ. I couldn't have come up with this if this had been me trying to figure this out. This is the wise, sovereign purpose of God. But that summary begs my second point, and I must be brief. What then is this distinct service of second union? The legal precedent's there. First union is dissolved by death. It allows a full, free second union. It's designed for a full, free second union. Right? That's what it's designed for. Perfectly allows second union. Made for second union. So this begs the second point. What is this distinct service of second union? First of all, let me point out, there is fruit. There is service. We may not see it as we think we ought, but we see through a glass darkly, brothers and sisters. Our second husband sees the fruit. He's the ordainer of it. He's the cause of it. He is Solomon in Song of Solomon. And the Shulamite is ravished by him, and he is ravished by her. There is fruit. This is God's sovereign design. Some accuse us of not preaching that. That's just not so. And others abuse that. Say, well, if it's all free grace, I'll just go out and serve myself. Serve sin. Serve Satan. It don't work that way. That's not the purpose and design of second union. You're joined to Christ. And you will bring forth fruit unto God. And not according to old legal service. It's a totally distinct service. We're not freed from the law so that we can be married to Christ so we can go serve the law. We're freed from the law to be married to Christ to serve Christ. It is a newness of spirit as opposed to the oldness of the letter. I must move quickly here. For one, here's one motivating principle. That every gospel converted believer has this one new motivating principle. There's a lot of other things. You got the new man, the new nature created in righteousness and true holiness. But I don't have time to go into it. Here's the one, though, thing that's reigns in the heart of all God's people is called faith. Faith. Paul is distinct in Galatians 3:12, but the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. If you are joined to Christ and you're trying to then serve the law, you're leaving faith. It's the only way you can do it. The law is not of faith. You're being dishonoring to your second husband by trying to remember that first one. You're dead to that first one. You're dead to that first one. Think about it. Faith. Faith. By faith we live. By faith we obey. By faith we walk. In faith we die. Is that right? All of it. From beginning to end. Kelly. Beginning to end. Once we're joined to Christ in marital union, we're to serve Him. And what's that one motivating principle? Faith. Just believe Him. Honor Him. Brag about Him. Talk about Him. Have the breakfast ready for Him. Have the dinner ready for Him. Go to work to pay the bills for Him. To build a place where you can come and worship Him. Right? And somebody says, but don't you have to have some law around to keep people in line? Did Abraham have? I want you to think about this. Abraham had no Bible. He had no law of Moses. And yet he lived by faith, obeyed by faith, walked by faith, and died in faith. Now that's good enough for him. Bless God, it's good enough for us. Father, teach us these lessons. Help it not to be just dull and dry, Lord, but to be a rejoicing of our soul. In Christ's name, amen.